Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.
Good evening, everyone. That was a public service announcement from NASGA, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. We thank them for letting us use their commercial. Today is May 5th, 2021. You are listening to Face Us Radio on the Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio, the Inside Scoop. My name is Luann Fleming, and I am with my other co-host tonight. I do have Robin Austin here with us. Robin, say hello to everybody.
Good evening, everyone. So happy that you could join us. I think we have an amazing show for you tonight. I think you're going to get quite the quite an earful.
Yes, absolutely agree. And then we also have Marcy Friedman. Are you with us tonight?
I am with you tonight, and thank you again for all of you for putting all your time and effort advocating to try to continue to save lives and stop the injuring of our seniors. Thank
exactly.
you.
And I'm going to bring you back on in a minute first, but I'm going to introduce our other co-host, which is Hillary Hogue. Say hello to everybody.
Hi, everybody. Good evening. And again, we thank you for giving us a reason to do this show every Wednesday to help people who are thrust into the worst situation of their life and to help people that have the few and far between that have gotten out of guardianship. So I am grateful to be here with everyone tonight. Thank you.
Right. So I'm going to actually let Marcy speak. You said you had something to talk about just a little bit, and then I'm going to have Hillary come on and dedicate this show, okay? So, Marcy, go ahead and speak,
yes.
Okay?
Yes, I wanted to bring up the light about the color of law and how it falls into isolation, kidnapping, injuring anybody suffering any type of loss. And I am sorry I had it all written in my cellular to read to you, but it died. So I just wanted to bring that up. It also is supposed to be protecting, and it confirms about civil rights and freedom. And not exploiting the elders or not exploiting people in general. That is all stuff that it shouldn't be happening, and I wanted to bring that to light.
Good.
My mother,
good.
I wanted to say something, too, that's going to go with the show tonight, is that negligence is not allowed. If anybody is, a guardian is supposed to protect. A guardian is not supposed to liquidate, exploit, and a guardian is supposed to keep a log and an inventory about everything about that person that they're trying to protect. And most of these people are failing to do that, and they're getting away with it. And so I think that feeds a lot into a lot of the problem that is going on. And at the end of the day, it is exploitation, isolation. It's removing of a human being to someplace else and holding them captive in order to exploit their state. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And that's exactly what this show is about tonight. We've got a really good show on. These are, I know there's Elliot Bernstein. He's going to be coming on, and I've listened to him before, and he has quite the stories to tell. And we also are having Skander Hody come on. I know I keep saying that, but I'm going to get it right. Let me tell you a little bit about the show tonight, okay? So tonight we join our guests, Elliot Bernstein and Skander Hody, professional guardians, lawyer, empty man's house. And this is an article in the Palm Beach Post. You can Google it so you can read along with me. Skander received a call from a neighbor asking whether he was moving out of his Lake Worth home. Skander rushed home to find a moving truck packed with furniture, heirlooms, and valuables owned by him and the elderly woman he called Mom. The lock on the door bashed in, and the house ransacked. This wasn't breaking and entering by street thugs, everybody. This was an attorney operating under a court-ordered guardianship. So we're going to bring in the story to you, but I want to tell you a little bit more first. Skander was born in the country now known as Kosovo and has lived in Palm Beach County since 1980. How can you allow this to happen in America, is what Skander was saying. And he goes, I lived in a community, in a communist country, and they wouldn't do this. So, and also, Gwendolyn Basson was forced into guardianship, died at 89 in 2013. And from what I heard, she was a school teacher. So this story hits home to every one of us that has been in guardianship abuse. Robin Austin, do you have anything you want to say before we start the show?
No. I'm just eager to hear from our guests this evening.
Good. So this is going to be really good. I am going to bring on, hold on, let me get them on first, Elliot Bernstein on, and Skander is also with him. So Elliot, say hello to everybody.
Good evening. Thank you, Luann and Faces Blog Talk Radio, for allowing us to get this story out further. Skander and I have been trying to expose this guardianship racket here in Florida for many years, and Skander was one of the faces of the original Palm Beach Post expose done by John Vicente called Guardianship of Broken Trust, whereby his face was the face of the guy trying to save his mother, you know, get her out of this guardianship. And tonight's story, I think we're going to tell her story, which is the I Care a Lot story on steroids, meaning this really happened. And we're all getting familiar with they can grab little old ladies and put them in these guardianships and murder them while robbing their estates, and it's all court orchestrated between the attorneys and judges, who are all attorneys, mind you. And in particular, what we want to express is all the people like Skander who went to help their family, like, hey, my mother's missing. I've got to show up at this courtroom. Somebody put her in a guardianship. I don't even know who, and I don't know where the hell she is. So he walks into a courtroom trying to find out where's my mother, and then he hires lots of lawyers in town who try to help him supposedly get his mother out, but they don't. Every time at the last minute, they abandon him with a giant bill. And now Skander, for trying to help his mother, is being retaliated on by the mob of Florida, which encompasses the courts, the lawyers, the judges, the prosecutors, the U.S. attorney, the AG. They're all in on it together. It's a nice club. And there's billions of dollars of rich little old ladies here to grab and murder while you rob their estates. So this is a very lucrative racket that's well-oiled. But what's really disgusting is, you know, there's a woman, Barbara Stone, who went to advocate for her mother. She ended up in jail for 3 years. There's Karen Turk here in West Palm, who advocated for her mother. She just got out of a federal prison. Skinder advocated for his mother. His businesses, his homes are all under foreclosures, not by bank foreclosure in most instances, but by lawyer's liens that the lawyers put on his homes, and it's an orchestrated scheme to shut him up and drive him out of town. There's Dr. Robert Sarhan, who was driven out of the state of Florida after advocating for his mother. They blackball you. You can't get to the police, the sheriff, to help. You know, the sheriff here in Palm Beach is busy catering to Jeffrey Epstein and making sure he's got a nice cell instead of investigating judges who murdered Skinder's mom, because part of the horrifying story of Skinder's story is that he did finally win her back because it was so corrupted of a guardianship that they were forced to let her go. But he got her back and she was dead. How many days did it take?
3 months, 4 months.
3 months. She came back basically in a coma, was a vegetable. And this has been happening, Doug Frank's case, which, you know, Free Ernestine, where he got his mom back and in days she died. Julian Bibbs, all of these people.
So Elliot, I also want to put in one more thing that I wanted to talk to everybody out before you continue. That I was talking to Hillary Hogue earlier today, and I think wasn't it like an anniversary or something from Jenny Dursay? You wanted to say something about? Yes, and this ties in with what we're talking about. So go ahead, Hillary, and then we're going to come back to you. Okay.
Tomorrow, Adam Walzer will have a piece on ABC Action News, which you can live stream, about Doug Keegan getting out of a fraudulent for-profit guardianship in Orange County, which he was in for almost 7 years. So that'll be phenomenal. Adam Walzer is one of our cult leaders because he has done more for guardianship than most reporters. You know, there's been a lot of in print, but not so much on video. So more importantly, tonight we are dedicating our Blog Talk Face Us Hidden Truth Revealed show to Jeanette Dursay, a Lithuanian woman who owned properties on St. Pete Beach, never committed a crime, devoted her life to taking care of maintaining her property. Her great-nephew, Gediminas Pakalnis, came over 13 years ago, maybe a little longer, from Lithuania to help his great aunt. They loved each other. No police, no DCF, no drama, nothing. 3 years ago, the petition was filed, and Getty's father received it, and he had a heart attack, and he died on this day. Fast forward 3 years later, a year ago today, Ms. Dursay died in St. Anthony's Hospital of COVID-19, alone, isolated, and Getty, her nephew, had begged the courts, filed motions to bring his aunt home to her beachfront property, and they all laughed at him. So, Jenny Dursay, I'm sorry that we did not save you. We tried our best, and we hope you're resting easy, and we will not stop fighting until we get justice for you, for your nephew, and for your great nephew, Getty Pakalnis, who is being sued to get one of your properties back and is going on trial in civil court soon. So thank you so much.
Yeah, so we're just going to basically dedicate this whole radio show today for all the mothers that are out there, whether they're or lives passed away in guardianship or whatever. I think it's really important that we really honor their precious lives. So all that said, let's get back to Elliot and Skinder. And I know that's why we wanted to bring this up first, is because of what happened to Gwendolyn. Batson, because she was forced into guardianship. And why don't we go ahead and start off. Elliot, did you have any more that you wanted to say right away, or did you want to have Skinder tell his story?
Sure. I'm going to lead into that for a second. And
okay.
Say that Skinder story, just so everybody's clear on this. His mom was conscripted into an illegal guardianship with no competency hearings that he attended or anything. But the judge who ordered it assigned his wife, she goes by the name Elizabeth Sabbat. Okay, and Skinder wants to tell this part, so I'm going to let him say it in his
language.
Hey, welcome, Skinder.
Hello, my name is Skinder Hoti. I'm from Kosovo, and I came to this country in 1980. And meantime, living as a high-class life, protecting my mother and father, live with them from 1980. In 1993, my father passed away. My mother, she was adopted by herself. Which one? I was adopted by them in 1985. And I did take care of my mother like my own real mother. Which one? She raised my kids. She lived with us. And even I named my daughter after her, Gwendolyn. And my last name was Batson in the meantime. And we come into the point where in 2011, her brother tried to accuse her, to take her property up in Alabama. They were to start their fight. And mother told him to remove his name out of her property in Florence, Alabama home. And after that, they become their fight, whatever happened between them. And from the clear sky in 2012 and 25th of January, her brother, Kenneth Davis, he hired attorney Sharon Hazelton as the attorney on his behalf to protect her sister. Which one? Kevin Davis, for 30 years, I live in Florida with her and her husband. The time was alive with my family. And day and night, she has a breakfast, lunch, and dinner with us. And point was because he made a crime, her brother, up in Alabama. And to shut her down, he made her to be, like, incapacitated. Which one? He paid attorneys down here in Florida. And also was Vince Davis, which one was our preacher at the Church of Christ, and guide him how to do it and to kidnap her. So January, as I stated, in 2012 was like issuing paper, which one I never saw it. She never saw it. She drove by herself 5 miles one way to the restaurant or 8 miles to the house, to my main house, pick up my kids, take them to school, live her life happy and healthy. Nevertheless, she was at the school board she worked, and her husband was a principal in the junior college, which one is State of Florida College today. And on 31st of January at 10 o'clock a.m., I took her to the doctor to evaluate her blood pressure and stuff like that. Everything was normal, nothing wrong with her. 11 o'clock, we finish up from the doctor. We went to restaurant. She stayed there with me and my kids and my worker. She has a lunch. And by 1:32 o'clock, she left. She went home. And usually she come back after that for dinner by around 4:35 because on January, you know that it get dark early. That reason she come kind of early. And she would come and eat and stay with us for an hour and go home. And happens, she never returned. I keep calling, no answer. Nothing, didn't answer. But finally, I received a phone call like 7 o'clock p.m. on 2012, January 31st. And here it is, one of the person who trans, she said, I'm attorney. Well, Kenneth Davis, which one, he came, he took Gwendolyn Batson to Alabama. I said, you cannot do that because you're violating the law. I do have a durable power of attorney, and I have a health care. I said, this is out of the control. And I said, now I'm going to call the policeman. As soon as I hang up, 3 minutes later, mother called me. And she said, Skender, where are you at? Come pick me up. I said, what? I said, where are you? He said, I don't know. They're driving me with a car. I'm tired and sick. I don't know where I am. I said, who's driving? I don't know. I said, grab him and ask him, who are you? And meantime, her brother reached the phone. He said, stay away from her. Nothing to do with you. I said, hold on, Kenneth. If you're a man, you can come here and face me. If mother wants to come with you, she can come with you. If she don't, you don't force her. I said, you're violating the law here. I said, you never came for 30 years to visit her once in your life. I drove twice a year to take her up there and fly back or the other way. Kidnapped, and I'll call the cop. Waited from 7 to 11, 11:30. Nobody didn't show up, the cop, everything. My telephone was betrayed, you know, never show up. Finally, by 11:30, one of the sheriffs came to the house, and he advised me, said, okay, show me the paper. What do you have for the health care or Denver power attorney? I did. He said, you are correct. He said, go fly tomorrow, go to Alabama, pick up your mother, come back. Lord behave. I couldn't do it. I couldn't face it. I said, I cannot argue. I have to get an attorney. I was advised to get an attorney. And I started shopping for an attorney, 2, 3 days, 4 days, nothing. Couldn't get nothing, phone number, call her, nothing. On the 14th of January, I hired attorney David Garden as a guardianship attorney to represent me. On 17th, 18th of February, 2012, I received a phone call, Kathy Grave, my neighbor, at the Ponciana, where I live and my mother there. She said, oh, like you stated earlier, what happened? Are you guys moving out of the house? I said, no, what's going on? He said, we have a truck here, and they're all over, loading the truck, loading the stuff, everything. And I did not know it myself. I just got in the car quick. I rushed to go to the house, which one is 3.5 miles. In the meantime, I called the policeman. I said, I have a breaking in my house, please. I want you to meet me over. Somebody's stealing my stuff. As I arrived there, here is two ladies. There was another guy there, tall guy, which one I described later on was Robert Savitt, Elizabeth Savitt, judge's wife, which one she goes by last name Savitt, but actually technically she's Colin. Martin Collins' wife,
married
and Sharon Hazelton.
Married to the judge who's putting his mother in guardianship. He now meets this woman who's got the guardianship who identifies
as the
best.
Right. The best. They said we're going to put this house for sale. I said, how now are you going to put the house for sale? The house is mine, you stupid. I said, I own the house and this is my name. I said, who the hell you are? And I said, I'm a judge's wife. You cannot do nothing to me. I said, what?
Powerful judge.
Yeah, powerful. And I didn't know what the house was talking about to the policeman. And I said, policeman, I said, please, these people need to be arrested. This is break entrance to my house. And I went to my room. I looked up my stuff, my valuable stuff, jewelry, the gun, so that nothing there. Money's gone. And I started yelling, screaming. And I called different sheriff's department. There came five of them, and they're trying to surround me. Said, wait, you know, let's talk. They put me, like, on the back by the gulf to the back entrance. Well, I said, why are you not going to the front entrance? Because it's broken. Look at the lock. No, we got to go in the back because they're trying to take my attention to take off. And exactly that happened. They put me in the back, like speaking to me, five of them. And as they talk, and Elizabeth Savage, she was telling to the sheriff, the poor guy, person, which one I have a picture. I took a picture of them. And I said, she needs to be arrested. I said, what the hell are you taking aside? Oh, that's order. We have to wait. And meantime, as they took it, my attention, you know, to go in the back door or something like that. And here it is, Sharon, Elizabeth Savitt take off with all valuable jewelries and money, so that she takes off. And Sharon Hazelton stayed there in the parking lot with her son for 3-4 hours, which one is like handicapped her son, staying without AC, which one, there's their life. And I told the cop, you know, this was kidnapped in my mother out of Florida, crossing the border from Florida to Alabama. I said, this is going too far. And they wouldn't do nothing, not even policemen. They left the other five policemen. They said the only one tried to check on me what to do with Soledad. I said, man, you cannot leave here. This is my stuff. I said, I don't know why you are not arresting them. Anyway, they pushed me away, stuff like that, and after I started unloading the stuff, put it back at the house.
They made her put back
some
of the stuff, but they had already driven off with two truckloads of stuff that he's never seen again.
Never.
Because they wouldn't arrest her because Judge Martin Colon was the bigwig here, and this little orchestrated scheme exposed everybody. Skinder was the first person who discovered that Sabat was married to Colon by
Colon's ex-husband. Jack.
Jack, and Colon, this is a judge who got, I think, arrested or at least charged with trying to drown his stepchild for squirting him with a squirt gun at a pool outdoor. And he somehow wiggled his way out of that, but that's the monster he has to now go and deal with in a courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who put his mother in this guardianship, no competency hearings, no doctors that was real. It just, you know, the insider got in there. The lawyer, Hazelton, is friends with Sabat, or Sabat Colon, we'll call her. And then all this came out in the Palm Beach Post articles. And as I said, he's got a lot of articles out there on him. And tell me something.
So you're saying that the judge is basically have his wife, and she's the guardian.
Yes. And even
that's conflict interest right there.
It's not like the wife.
And here's what's worse. Once they stole his property, his stepson, he tried to drown, gave information that we've submitted to the Palm Beach County Sheriff as well, who's done nothing. Rick Bradshaw, very busy letting Jeffrey Epstein out of jail every day instead of saving little old ladies like he should be. But his family's in on this scheme, and it's protecting the judges. So it's – hold on one second. because I get emotional.
I mean, is it illegal to have, you know, a case like that where your judge –
has his wife as the
guardian? I mean,
he should have been thrown off the bench in a second. The conflict, the hidden thing. He did take early retirement.
Yeah, conflict
of interest. To try to press charges on a judge in this country. They're, when Donald Trump said, I can walk down Fifth Avenue and shoot somebody and nobody's going to do anything, these judges have that immunity. Murder charges with the Palm Beach County Sheriff against Judge Colon that Skinder's had open now for 5-6 years, but no arrest. And here's what's even worse. Some of the information we gave them and pictures was that Colon started selling gold medallions of his that go back in Kosovo 100 years or more.
So then John Crescendi found that through the newspaper, which one it was, and the Penny Savers.
Right,
sell,
right.
Classify
and
it.
That's what kicked off the whole
house,
Palm Beach Post
stuff.
Thing. Right. He's selling
so try to talk one at a time,
out
you guys.
Out.
Garage.
Yeah. This, and he hasn't been arrested yet. Bulletproof
So protection. Basically what they did, hold on, everybody. So what? Basically what they did is they're selling the property that they came to steal out of the home in the first place, and now they're selling Skinder stuff.
My God.
Garage sales through Craigslist. Isn't that vandalizing his property?
Oh my God!
It should be known that Colon, we believe, was sleeping with Sabat while he was handling her divorce case.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, the Jack.
Yeah. Oh, So we really don't. God, oh my God, this is getting really deep,
so
you guys.
This is a judge in a robe that you should call your honor. You should call him you crook, you murderous, thieving crook, and he should be in jail today.
So put it this way: if you or I did any of this, we would be in prison. If I went over to Skinner's house and I moved all of his stuff out, they would be coming after me. They would. They would put me in jail.
Then killed his mother.
Vacillated for 9 months.
Then murder his mother while they had her and turn her back a dead fish.
Right.
She was in a coma, basically, when she came home.
One decade later.
Tell me, is this judge still on the bench, or is he retired, or what happened to him?
Well, after me, like several other judges in the West Palm Beach court that were part of the ring, David French and John Phillips, two monsters, mm-hmm. if you look them up, they've got a long history of ruining people's lives here in West Palm Beach. They all took early retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Bar complaints, they're bulletproof.
Oh, yeah.
Judicial Conduct Commission, these are attorney protection agencies. Anybody going to the bar or the JQC mm-hmm. or the judicial commissions, you're wasting your time. They will send you back a letter saying, we reviewed your case, nothing here, you owe your attorney a lot of money, bam, and have a nice day.
Right.
Sorry your mother was murdered by the judge, but, you know, have a nice day. And so
So what happened, Skinder, is that your mom, she basically was taken out to Alabama. How long was she in Alabama?
In Alabama, she was from the 31st of January, and she was returned on 2 months later as a court order to come to speak, which one was never ordered from the doctor. She's incapacitated or she blows her mind or stuff like that. And they start, the time I arrived into the house, she came with the Dr. Pierre, Sharon Hazelton, John Milton, as a state attorney, escorting her from the airport. Come on, why they need that? Was not the Noriega coming up to the house. She can come by herself. As always, she came with her pleasure, leave and go. And nevertheless, I tried to speak with her. They didn't let me speak with her. I was shackled by my attorney, David Gordon. Stay away from mm-hmm. her. Don't talk to her. Let's wait what the judge going to say. As I start speaking to the judge, and judge ordered me, he said, hey, don't talk. If you talk, I put you in jail. I was threatened even in the court not to speak. They shut me down in and out. But finally, as I see my attorney is not doing nothing for me, which he told me cost me $5,000 to $10,000, I paid him. And after he tricked me dirty, he said he need to go to Alabama with his workers, and he need another $5,000 to $15,000, and I paid him. Which one ended up paying him $35,000 2 months of work. Which one is supposed to do the work? He said he's going to charge her brother everything down there.
And now he's got liens on Skinder's house for attorney liens.
And
oh, no. Well, Skinder, how much do you owe in an attorney? And how many attorneys have you had?
Like 10.
Oh.
How many?
20.
How many of them attorneys have you had?
You can look then, on the Google. You can see it.
And even after paying them, they put these fake attorney liens on him, and then with interest and everything the judges approve, he's now got more than the houses are worth in attorney liens, just going into a court trying to get his mother out of an illegal guardianship, which case he won in the end and got her back, but dead, meaning she was literally a vegetable. And so,
tell me a little bit about that. What happened? What happened to her? Physical well-being and emotional
isolated
well-being.
She was isolated with the medicine and stuff like that. The time she came back to the house, I removed her medicine completely, and I started feeding her the way she was. She started telling us, you know, how she was isolated in the basement with some old people that took away her phone, they took away her car, they took her TV. They tried to put her like in kindergarten to learn how to speak and stuff like that. And she said, I was miserable. I'm happy to come home. I don't want nothing to do with my brother, stuff like that. Really, you know, she's turning almost like the vegetables, you know, because.
And that's the drugs they
give. Yeah, the drugs. Yeah,
you look at these cases, Luann, and most of them, if they win, Ernestine Doug Frank's mom returned, basically died a few weeks later. Every one of them comes back. Whatever the last dose they give you on the way out is one that makes sure it kills you in 2 weeks.
Oh,
and you
my
come home
God.
Slurring, And that's how all of them that I'm aware of come back. If you get them out, the minute they release them, they murder them on the way out the door so they can't be witnessed against them.
I've heard a lot of stories
on this show, and we've done over 250 shows on this, and I tell you, a lot of this takes case, and there's like a pattern that we've seen, you know, and
it's a very strong pattern, and I've always told
everybody how the pattern works, you know, to the families of this. Me, it all makes sense of what they do, but they have to do it to cover their tracks. And we're on to them on what they're doing to these families. But let me read this a little bit about what they do, if I can find it. But we all know the playbook that they do. We all know it.
Well, once they get a playbook for how to rip people off in the courts, they spread it amongst the law firms. And what happens is they have players on both sides. So they've got a player to go in and get the guardianship, and then if Skinder, a family member, wants to hire a lawyer, they shuffle one of their firm's partners, their buddies, their law school butt buds, whatever you call them, and they come in to represent the victim's protector, and then they turn on them because they're really part of this playbook that you're talking about.
At the symposium, I came onto the symposium, and I told them that this is the pattern that we've seen, and it's called litigate, liquidate, isolate, medicate, steal the estate, cremate, celebrate, and not hesitate.
You missed one thing. Murder before cremate.
Yeah.
And can I say something? Yeah.
Marcy.
The East Bay Times did an article on January 6, 2021, and it says in a nutshell, over the past two decades, elder abuse not only been recognized as an ethical problem in our society, but as a clear danger for some of our seniors. If an elder is experiencing physical, emotional, or financial abuse, family members or others may go to the court to protect the seniors.
Oh, yeah, but they don't let us do that.
But my point is the beginning of the article recognizes everything. Go ahead, speak, Marcy.
Then I'm going to bring whoever. Go ahead. Marcy, go ahead.
Okay, the beginning of the article recognizes it in a nutshell. Everything you do, you just said, they have experienced, I have experienced, and you have experienced, but they're labeling it as ethical problem. It's an ethical problem.
Right. Who was that speaking before, Marcy?
Hold on.
Let me get Robin on here first. Robin, go ahead and speak.
Yeah, what Marcy just read said that if you have these problems, go to court, try to take it to court to solve these problems.
Exactly.
This makes me want to vomit. I mean, I think I threw up a little in my mouth.
Okay,
horrifying.
Hold on.
Because
as we all know,
when you go to court, you are simply playing into the hands of the predators that we're discussing on this show right now. These people are working together in a coordinated effort to defraud people of their property, defraud others, individuals of their wealth, conspire to take property without compensating people for it, and kill them and dispose of the bodies without autopsies, so that it is impossible or difficult to prove the abuse that goes on. This is absolutely horrendous. And the story that comes out is the party line of, if you have a problem like this, go to court. That is just, it's horrifying. It's horrifying.
Robin, it's horrifying.
People really believe that.
And Robin, can I interject for a second?
Hold on.
Let me interject for
Elliot,
1 second.
Elliot,
one of the
I'm
most important, Robin
go ahead,
just
Elliot.
Really hit on it. Going into the court is playing their game. I have been a big advocate for Sam Sugar's organization with all of these victims and saying, before you go to court, you might have to, where it's a dirty shit show is all I could call it, that's going to bleed you to death in fees and everything else. Go to the police department and the sheriff's office and file formal verified complaints against the judges, attorneys, everybody involved in the scam immediately before you get in the court. And that's very important that you do that first, because once you do that, you have really the only remedy, and the police are part of this, so it's very hard. But once they take a formal complaint, for example, in my case, I filed a formal complaint with the sheriff first when I found that my father notarized documents after he was dead in his wills and trusts. And while the judge, when I went to the judge, he was trying to let the attorneys off who forged the documents, submitted them to the court, unbelievably. But right after he was trying to let them off, sheriff knocked on the door and hauled him in for questioning. And they got removed from the cases, and then they weren't even referred to the bar by the court. They didn't have any show cause, nothing. It was mind-boggling how protected they were there. They later got arrested for insider trading, both of them, Donald Tesher and Robert Spallina. But these are the guys that the judge is protecting, and we'll get more into that in my story next week if I'm on. But
Marcy, go ahead.
And really, one other thing to the
I just want to
say this other little piece of this article that resonates with what you guys are all saying. It says, unfortunately, this system creates further ethical dilemmas and opportunities for abuse of seniors through the court system itself. So the article is bringing to light, and it's recognizing everything that we have all unfortunately have experienced.
Well, all of it'll stop the minute judges start getting let out of courthouses in handcuffs. And if it were 100 years ago, we would have hung them for this stuff and left them there hanging. So the next judge worried about, what did he do wrong? Oh, he robbed an old lady? Shit, you guys are serious. But instead, they're elevated up. They move up in the system. If they get in trouble, it's mind-boggling. We need the police and the sheriffs. That's who we need to be protesting on their doorsteps. Why isn't Martin Colin in jail, or at least brought in for questioning? Seriously, there's multiple murder charges against him.
So you're talking about what people have to do is they have to put in complaints of what's going on to the court, right, or to who?
No, to the sheriff and the sheriff and the police. And first they're going to try to tell you you can't file against the judge, go to the Judicial Conduct Commission, can't file against the lawyer, go to the bar. You have to say no. They have no criminal investigatory powers. They can't arrest. They're useless. They're members of the same organization. So you're the guys that your state code demands go investigate. I want a criminal complaint. And they will give it to you. I've gone with Skinder here.
I filed Skinder twice. I filed FBI 2 complaints.
But they try to throw you out without giving you a formal docketed complaint. Yes. And the most important thing is that you walk out of there with a docketed complaint. Period. And
don't
it just needs to be short, names of who the players are, the basic crimes you're alleging. You don't need to write a 300-page thing. Just get that initial complaint filed in a case number. Once you have a case number, that case has to go through legal process. If they can throw you out without a formal complaint docketed, you have really just done nothing but visited the police station. So the goal is, like any crime committed against you, get a complaint. They'll try to protect those judges hard. I've been on the phone with 50 people who have filed criminal complaints, and every one of them called me saying, I'm sitting here, and they said exactly what you said. Do you want to talk to the chief? And I get on the phone and say, you know, it's your legal duty. The bar is not capable of investigating felony crimes like murder. Skinder's alleging in his criminal complaint to the Palm Beach County Sheriff with Rick Bradshaw that his mother was murdered, and he's got pretty goddamn good evidence. And yet they've delayed it for now six years.
6 years, yeah.
6 years. They called us one day, and we both went in there a few years ago, and they said, we're reopening your case. And the guy said, well, I have your file. And I looked at it, and I said, that's two pages in there. He goes, yeah, basically this is the complaint from when his I'm like, we've submitted 3,000 pages of evidence and stuff. Where is your file on this? And he's like, I don't know. And I'm like, here are six case numbers.
And 26 pictures.
And pictures and all of it. All missing from the record. Scrubbed 100% to two pages. This is what a joke. It's become, I'm telling you,
see,
you wonder why Jeffrey Epstein.
And Elliot, I've always went to the police to tell them about what was going on, and they wouldn't even hear it from me. They said, you have to go to the place that are doing the destruction to your family, to the courtroom. They said, you have to go back to court and get yourself an attorney. See, and that's just not right, because you can't go back and get an attorney. You can't even do a complaint down here in Colorado. You can't do a complaint anywhere. You know, they don't take it serious.
You can. You can.
You have to.
And Skinder have the same problem. Everybody does it first. That's why I say call me, because I'll help you through the process with the police. They are obligated under their constitutions to take that complaint against anybody. I don't care if it's Judge God. He's not above the law. Therefore, a complaint can be filed. And every time you say it to the police, oh, is he above the law? Can you put that in writing to me? That you can't take a complaint against a judge or a lawyer because they're above the law? Really? How much are they paying you to do that? You know, how much are you getting paid to close your eyes, Rick Bradshaw, to people getting murdered? It's being publicized in the Palm Beach Post, Miami Herald, Netflix, I care, all this. And where are you? Really? Don't you have a mother? Aren't you concerned? Or how much money are you pocketing out of this billions of dollars of fraud going on in every state right now? And nobody's safe. Look, there's Britney Spears in a guardianship. There's the grandson of Walt Disney in a guardianship. More money you got, the richer it looks. And it's your lawyers who do your estate plans who are going to turn you in, look for a family member that's disgruntled. And the day you die, everything you put in trust and estates is void. They void the estates, the trusts, everything. And it's a free-for-all. The lawyers are billing you $10,000 a month in bullshit charges every which way. Skinder, I'm telling you, how much?
$300,000 bill they were trying, David Gordon tried to tell me.
And now has liens on that $300,000, that $600,000.
And I asked him, show the proof where you work for me. And during the 2 months work for me, he got 18 pages with a half a page sentence. And two of them have a half a page, and the other got 2-3 sentences there total. And the time I filed in the federal court and also in the 4th District to appeal, I said, show me the bill where it did work for me. He don't have a bill to show, not even $6,000. I paid him $35,000 in 2.5 months. And after the Detroit, another $30,000, which want to come up to $65,000. And meantime, I've been fighting with him to get him out, and he put the lien through my properties, and he keep billing me. He had attorneys after me. He never left me alone. He dragged me to the court every week and just to charge me. He made it like 3,000 pages, like he did something work, because I owe him money. That right there, you can see it, how rotten. And he judged, if I go there, I get thrown out. And even David Gordon, as an attorney, he pushed me in front of the judge. You want me to sign to force me like I owe money. I said, I would never sign that, you idiot. And I walk out, and I call sheriff department, they will do nothing. Next day, I filed to disqualify the judge, Lucy Brown. And meantime, I did not know the word disqualification. I said, just to discharge her. I should put disqualification because that is more important to get rid of him and to close the case.
And recuse.
But the judge wouldn't do it, but judge got to resign. And by four judges, I have to kick him out.
Each judge is worse to him. So that's the other
thing. Tell me.
If you waste your time getting rid of the judge, a new one comes in who's the cleaner. And if you get rid of him, evil Nazi.
I get worse and worse.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling that this is a guy who went in just to get his mom out and now has hundreds of thousands of dollars of attorney liens foreclosing on him every day, forcing him into court. He has heart problems now. When I met him, he looked young and handsome. That's why he's called Hottie. Since I've watched him go through this,
How did you get your mom back? How did you get her back?
Because she spoke on her behavior.
They brought her in.
They brought her in because they don't
look competent. Right. She could talk, right? She's like all these people, like Doug Keegan's brilliant, and yet they kept him as, like he was incapacitated and couldn't make up his mind about what underwear to wear. This guy is genius, and you just sit after one talk with him. Any judge would say, where is he not competent? All these people.
He's smart to be that guy.
His mother was running their family restaurant business.
Yeah, Elliot.
Is that Hillary?
Bookkeeping.
Yes, that's me.
Hold on, everybody. Hillary, is that you?
Yes, it is. Can I ask two questions?
Yeah.
One,
sure.
To Mr. Hody, and also I'll ask the first question to Elliot. Elliot, you've been in this game. I've been in it 3 years. You've been in it a lot longer. Can you give us two, if not one, attorneys that you trust in Florida?
Well, I love Arthur Moorberger. I love Leslie Federicos. I think they're brave. They've been putting in filings to help people. But I also believe that the attorney who's trying to cure this mess and void all orders in these cases as criminal justicides, he calls them, is attorney Lalit Jain out of New York, and you can read his work, which is a seminal piece of changing the law, I believe, at www.truthisprudence.com. And I work with him daily for several years. He's I hate to call him an older attorney.
But make sure include Elliot Brinstein, the number one, with a Scandrahoti.
I
will give him all the advice.
And I'll tell you, those three are the only three. And I have contacted with my wife every attorney probably in the country to try to get help. But they can't. And let me give you an example. This is another hero attorney of mine. She represented Barbara Stone's mother. Barbara's a highly publicized
attorney.
She was an attorney who didn't practice law her whole life but was disbarred over trying to save her mother. She was put in jail for 3 years. But here's the important part. Skinder and I went to a federal court hearing for her. Mm-hmm. And the attorney brought in a witness. That witness was an attorney, Deborah Roklin. And Deborah Roklin took the stand and said, I went in and put in my papers to represent Barbara Stone's mother as her lawyer. I walked out of the courtroom, and I got a call on my phone, and it was Judge Jindin of Miami, who I had just been before, calling to tell me if I didn't pull my papers and cease representation immediately, he would destroy my life, my career, and everything. Well, she walked out of the federal court. She walked out of that federal court, and our infamous chief judge, Jorge Labarga at the time, who did nothing while all this was being exposed, like, hey, I'm going to get rid of these dirty attorneys who are all over the newspapers, whatever, and I'm going to hang them. He's been silent, or was silent, the whole time he was chief judge of this mess, which is
most chief judges are useless.
Well, no, they're the biggest criminals. When we get into Jorge Labarga, I'll tell you how 20 years ago my fight began, over 20 years ago, when he aided and abetted the theft of trillion-dollar technology patents of mine. And then this judge went on Bush v. Gore election. If you look it up at Wikipedia, you'll see Labarga was the non-recon guy. So what happened to him? He was immediately elevated to the 4th DCA District Court, where he spent a whopping one day before he was elevated by Charlie Crist to the Supreme Court, where he became the chief judge overnight. That's what you get for throwing an election and stealing trillion-dollar patents. The bigger of a crook you are in this game, the higher you elevate in this system. If you murder little old ladies, hey, step onto the Supreme Court, join the club. It's a club. And if you go against them, like this Deborah Roeplin, you walk out of a courtroom after telling the truth, and Judge Labarga wrote a bar complaint against her that was served to her basically at the courthouse. And mind-boggling.
So tell me, Elliot, what are the names of the judge or the attorneys that you trust one more time? One's asking.
Okay. Arthur Moorberger out of Miami. He's a Harvard cum laude. He's an elder gentleman, but he's true of it with integrity like not many attorneys have anymore. He actually learned ethics prior to them cutting it out of law school. So he's wonderful. Leslie Federico's. She just got Doug Keegan out. Doug, fascinatingly enough, was a guy who called me one day and said, got your number off the internet. Can you save me? I don't know where the hell I am. Can you help? And I said, well, tomorrow night we're hosting conference with Sam Sugar of AAAPG, and we've got a bunch of people working on an ad that's going to go alongside the Palm Beach Post expose. Can you call me? He's like, yeah, I got a few minutes of battery, but, you know, whatever it lasts on this basic cell phone I got off a table. And so he called in, and all of us were horrified. You know, he'd basically been kidnapped, taken away from his properties, no rights, no phone access, you know, drugging him, whatever. And so began the process of finding out who the hell this guy was, where he was, and helping get his story out there, because these stories, Nazi Germany didn't have these stories.
They wanted me to ask Kinder, where is Kosovo, and why do you, and this lady wants to know, so you said it happens in America, but you lived in a communist country in Kosovo. Where is that, she wants to know, and what's the difference? Do they have guardianship abuse out there? Do you know?
Because they don't allow it.
First, where is Kosovo?
Kosovo used to be former Yugoslavia. We are Albanian, where we got T-99, the war against Serbia. We split it now. We are the youngest state in the world. If you remember the war.
By the communists, right?
Yeah, it was done by communists, former Yugoslavia.
In the second,
it's
so,
on the border of Albania, Macedonia, and Croatia.
In the second part, did they do things like this there?
No, they never did that. They never used that.
Right.
Because as a guardianship, they do not allow, because their whole family is strong. We never allowed that.
Somebody to take a member.
To be a member or to control your life of the family.
The family
never
basically generational lived in the same
house.
Multi-generations. They don't leave the house. That's
the family house for 200 years.
Like English people.
Right.
Like British, Irish. Always you have been in the same house. You know each other from day one. It's like almost family. Hometown.
Now, when the Russians came and ransacked him, yes,
the
that was
tried
the
to
same
take it
kind
over.
Of crime.
Yeah.
He would equate that to what happened to his mother here, where the Russians would come in and kill everybody in town and take your house.
Like they did in Czechoslovakia, right. Start murdering people, taking all the jewelry, all the chandeliers, and taking away people, killing or taking away East Germany, and stuff like that. Same thing they did it to us, Serbia, with the Russia. And I came here for my master's degree. Even 1976, and after that, end up coming to Florida, where Robert Batson was my professor at the college that I counted, where I met them, and that's a beginning life with them. Later on, I was adopted, as I stated early in my case.
Right.
But I tried to protect my mother as a victim, end up being second victim, helping my mother and being mistreated, being thrown away. From the county,
yeah.
With the sheriff's department and the FBI, and you name it, you know, with the lawyers and the properties, you know, whatever I turn my head to get anybody, I'm just kind of scared to walk like a Brigada Rossi, they call it in Italy.
He's been blackballed by Florida lawyers. Leslie Federico's helping him. Arthur Moorberger's helping him. Lalit's helping him. These are people,
good.
Most of my attorneys are like 100-year-old Yodas, I call them, because they come from a different generation of law. Leslie seems to have taken an ethics course that they don't offer anymore in law school, I don't think. They just offer how to keep billing and taking money from your clients.
Robin.
But, yes, that was thanks to the Rockefellers' donation to law. But we are in a situation here where the victims' protectors, Karen Turk, Barbara Stone, Skinder Hody, Robert Sarhan, all these people whose family members were conscripted into these kidnapping situations, all of the people who are coming to protect them are being foreclosed on, are being thrown out of their houses. In New York, Pat Hanley and Suzanne McCormick, who have been fighting this for 30 years, they're in their 70s and 80s. They were thrown out of a mansion in New York that was hers for years in the craziest foreclosure, all because we're raising our voices. So to all of you heroes on this show tonight who are putting your lives and your family lives in risk, I salute you, and anywhere you need me, I'll stand beside you, in court, police stations, wherever. I don't charge anything. I've been doing it, as Hillary said. I've been doing it for 22 years, fighting the court system. So I know the networks, who's involved, what states, who to get you in touch with, and we'll help anybody fighting this, because this is some of the scariest stuff our nation is facing, and which is really why our country's falling apart, is because lawyers are destroying it, and they come in all different colors. They come as judges, prosecutors, everywhere you go, there's a lawyer, and they're all in on it, and even if they try to go against it, they're disbarred. Bar complaints are filed against them by the bar in a lot of instances, not even with clients filing anything. But they, like Roakland, she was an attorney with years, perfect, unblemished, and all of a sudden the bar is filing a complaint against her for testifying against the judge. It's insanity. And if we don't stop it, ladies and gentlemen, your properties are no longer safe, whether they be patents, whether they be personal properties that your family's accumulated for years, whether you're Walt Disney's son
checking
or Whitney Spears.
I agree with you.
Will be the one to do you in. And Shakespeare, I believe, wrote through Sam the Butcher during the Jack Cade Rebellion. Sam the Butcher, as they're getting ready for rebellion, said, first thing we do is kill all the lawyers. And I'm a big advocate for that. These guys should all be hung. Anybody involved.
Those are the bad lawyers, though, you know, that we have issues with. And I do believe that a lot of these attorneys, or lawyers you call them, do belong in jail for what they're doing to our family members. I mean, I have quite a bit here, you know, in Colorado, and I've heard them across the whole nation of what they've been doing to the people out there. And I do believe that a lot of these people belong in prison, period. You know,
and they're all
so,
the
judges. I think you guys have been extremely strong out there in Florida, you know, because you've been working with Dr. Sam Sugar and you've been working with some other organizations out there trying to get this notice out there. So I think you guys have come a long way, you know. So
well,
what
okay.
is it that you guys...
I need one word. I need you
what?
To get somebody from Hollywood, producer of the movie, I Care for Me, not for them. This is more important. If you read the history completely, which one I sent to you, the players, and my case, that's a movie, true story.
And there's hundreds of these.
Yeah.
We know now. But Skinner was one of the first, and he's being retaliated on. I mean, they're trying to steal everything from him right now. They are literally, he walks into court. I've been there with him hand in hand. And sheriffs surround him the minute he goes through the check-in, and they follow him to the court. They sit around him in a group. It's same with me. All of them. Right. Last time, I was stopped at an elevator by one of the sheriffs who said, did you threaten to kill a lawyer in there on the way out? She just said, you threatened to kill her. I said, well, don't you have tapes? I saw recorders there all going. And I happen to have one. My wife has one. And our friend from California has one. Let's go listen to the tapes. Right. My tape hasn't stopped. You witnessed it. I walked out of the court. And by the way, folks, everybody record every hearing. I don't care what they say. Record it. Whether it's legal, not legal, you're fighting for your rights in your life. You have every reason to take pictures of the crooks killing you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Record everything, every call you make on behalf of the sheriff.
They say that you're not supposed to record down in Florida, though. Is that true?
I want to tell you, don't believe
care.
It. You do it.
Right. These are public hearings, unless it's specified, marked, confidential. And they have no right, and every time, you know, we go in as gangs, and everybody should take this point seriously. Have people show up at that court. If there's Zoom hearings, get 100 people on the phone. Because nothing scares these judges more than people are witnessing your crime.
Court watchers.
I agree.
And I want to mention
I agree, and that's what we've been doing with Venus Dis out in California. We've been giving her cases for people to go in and listen.
Well, so here in Florida, and I want everybody in Florida to take note of this. There's a group, I call them Little Old Ladies, who I love, but they run an organization called FACT, Families Against Court Travesties. You can look them up online.
Mm-hmm.
They are a division of NOW, National Organization of Women, and they carry a big bat. And what they've created is court watchers who go in and write a summary that the judge didn't allow them to speak. Sheriffs were sitting all around them. The judge made insane rulings that seemed to go against what they just witnessed. And the more of these people that you have attending your hearings with you, showing up on Zoom meetings, everybody, when you see those opportunities, jump on that call because the judge is looking. And when he sees 26 people, he's like, well, I'm not going to sit here and ask 26 people to identify themselves. Obviously, they're allowed to be here. It's public hearings. You know, if it wasn't, it'd be a closed hearing. You couldn't even get on the call. So, and believe me, they're trying to shut down the public access to these cases. They don't want anybody to see the records of what they're doing. So that's why you got to go in, whether they say record me or not, or it's illegal, screw them. You're protecting your loved one's life. You have every reason to record people, okay? And if anybody has a problem with that, call me. We'll discuss your laws and why there are rules around. It would be like saying, hey, a guy is calling and threatening to murder my wife and children tonight. So before I record him saying that when he calls me next, I should advise him that he's being recorded.
Right.
So you have. Yeah. So in some states, they say, oh, you have to tell the person there. Oh, yeah, I'm going to tell the guy threatening me that I'm recording him so he won't say it. Record it and then worry about the legal consequences.
At least you have a proof.
Right. Video. Me and Skinder walk in with video cameras.
I did video all the time.
And they try to throw one of us out, and there's three of us. And somebody's got it secretly concealed. Screw these guys. Put it up on YouTube the next day. Put their name in headlights. Get bloggers to blog about it. This is how you protect yourself against these courts. This is the first step in defending yourself. And now if we could get the police and the FBI to start doing something that we have national attention on, and Sam Sugar and the Palm Beach Post have done an excellent job of saying, where the hell are the police? Why are no judges, lawyers being arrested? Forget the Guardian. They're just puppets for the lawyers and judges. The nursing
right.
home is just a puppet. They pay them referral fees to get them the guardianship job. The problem with that movie I care a lot was the judge was looking like he was asleep and didn't understand. Every hearing you're going to is pre-scripted to screw you. You walk in that door and they start beating you up. As just an advocate for someone. Mind-boggling, but the more light, the more disinfectant we have. And the more people that gang up, show up at the police station on the steps, those ladies at FACT, by the way, they organize, and we, me and Skinder, have helped and bring a lot of people, to the steps of the courthouse where we march against these judges with their name, and it went viral. It started to expose this whole thing. That's where the press started coming in and saying, wow, is there really a story here? This is a bunch of little old ladies are protesting on the courtroom. What the hell's going on in Palm Beach? Do it in Colorado. Do it in Arizona.
Right.
And start posting your criminal complaint and let the sheriff know you're watching him too. And make it hard for him not to arrest them without being complacent to the crime being committed. That's what scares them. They don't want to lose being sheriff in the next round of elections. So you've got to come in as groups, organize. Sam Sugar of APG is a great source of referrals, contacts, and support. Go to the attorneys I mentioned. I think all of them are highly qualified to help and have integrity and seem to be the only ones willing to risk their law license to go against and help people. Leslie Federico's will probably be disbarred tomorrow for getting Doug Keegan out. And the guy who seems, to want her disbarred seems to be the guy who had the guardianship over Doug and lost it after years of keeping him in there in prison, in hell, like in Serbia.
Right. Hold on a second. I listened to the article that Adam Walter did, and that attorney that was on there, he's like that Dr. Sam Sugar was just as incompetent as Keegan was. Because I think he was angry he couldn't keep him into guardianship. I mean, I was really appalled at that attorney
it's
on this.
Mind-boggling.
Extremely appalled.
Right.
Yeah, it was mind-boggling that he would suggest that against Dr. Sam Sugar, Anyway, I just looked this up, and it is called the National Organization for Women. That's what you're talking about, right?
It's one of the largest organizations, oldest charities out there, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes way back.
Yeah.
These women carry a big stick. And all of
these
people should reach out to them and others like them in your cities and organize like this. Maybe join now and start a chapter of FACT on your own in your state. Get court watchers showing up. Now that they do Zoom calls, have 1,000 people come on the call. These FACT ladies, you'll see how they're doing it. They got it linked up so that all of the hearings, they tell you a briefer about the judge trying to take children from families or what they're doing, and they ask you to attend via Zoom conference. How easy is that? Take an hour out of your day. Join it. Just sign up in the first minute to show the judge 500 people are on this call. You're being watched, dude. So go ahead. Make our day.
Anybody wants to reach out to them, or if I have a chance, I'd like to see if they can come onto a radio show. I'm sure they might want to do that. But I like to put these organizations out on there to come out and speak live on the air to give us all
Speaking of which, I wonder, you said that Leslie Federico may be disbarred tomorrow. Is that a hearing that we could attend by Zoom?
You know, I'd say contact Leslie. She's up around the Orlando area in Florida. I'm sure if it's a Zoom meeting, she'd be happy to have the whole world join in and hear this.
I definitely want to be involved in that. I'll try to get a hold of that, and let's get it out there, man, because she is a good attorney. I mean, she's gone her.
She's got integrity, and that's all that matters to me. And I can't find lawyers in this country anymore who are not intimidated by the bar, afraid, like wussies. Like, where's your backbone? You're supposed to be a lawyer. You're supposed to fight for your client's rights. What you're doing is not a lawyer. You're the end of our – look at any civilization. It goes out of business, all of them, when law corrupts. Well, we've hit that apex. I can tell you. People are wondering why our country is in shambles and so divided. It's all the lawyers who are profiting and robbing everybody, ripping off the country, creating monopolies, stealing trillions of dollars to offshore accounts. Listen, all these judges have offshore accounts. You should all go look at the Panama Papers databases and the Paradise Paper and several other of the databases on offshore stolen money, and you'll find, like we found, a Colin French. Two of the judges here in Palm Beach County have a Panama Papers account. This money laundering. So they steal a house, and you wonder, how does the judge get paid? Well, you know, we found that David French, one of the judges in Palm Beach, who's part of this racket, was making $250,000 bets in the Bahamas. That was your grandmother's jewels. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's how he makes a bet of that amount. Not certainly not working as a judge.
Right.
Right.
So
it's very easy.
Look up the lawyers. Look up everybody involved in your case. If they have offshore accounts, you know that your properties are going there. Look, they're not just making money off billing these people and creating this court scheme of billing. They're collecting the assets, and like Martin Colin, they're stealing them at garage sales out of their house. Your mother's stuff, your family's heirlooms that in Skinner's family were there for 500-600 years. He wanted to give his daughter so much of what came from Kosovo and has nothing to give her. It's caused so much stress and destruction of this family. And they won't let go. The more he tries to fight and expose, the more they come down on him as a group. And all of you need to be aware of that, because the more our voices are heard, the more disruption there is to a racket that's so much money, it blow your mind. I know Sam's got it up in the trillions nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he's quite accurate in that. Just a small little sampling of cases that we evaluated in Colorado, where we did the math. It was something like $68 million in, what was it, eight families or something?
Eight families.
Right.
So 68. Yeah.
68 million.
I mean, this was my estimate down in Colorado, and this was quite a while back. We've got a lot more people now. It was up to $62 million, and the estates before that it was $56 million, and all this paid to the attorneys was over $6 million. But out of all that, there was only $5 million given back out of $62 million, and that was like one family. They didn't quite get all of that embezzled. But
add in Walt Disney's grandson, who's supposed to inherit, a third. You're talking billions in some cases. One of the wealthiest Palm Beach socialites, whose father won the tobacco settlement here, Montgomery, maybe, I believe her name is, the sole inheritor of the estate, her mom's still alive, as they started to rob their estate, she went to fight, and they put her in criminal, arrested her. They went to her house. She had a shotgun, I believe, and told him, if you enter the door, I'm going to blow you off. And then they conscripted her into prison over that. I mean, this stuff
Right.
It's so big. Now that playbook is designed where they got the cops in on it, they're paying them off, they got the guardian in, they're getting paid, the judge is collecting his backdoor Panama paper money, all of those things. If we don't stop this here, nobody is safe. And it starts with kill all the lawyers.
Yeah, either that or stop them dead in their tracks on what they're doing. So let me
put
this out there right now. We're going to start taking phone calls. We're going to start taking phone calls in from some of our listeners. And the number that you could call into the radio show, and you'll be live on the air with us, it'll be 845-241-9962. You press the 1. And that's 845-241-9962. You press the 1. And they'll let me know that you have a question or a comment. So I'll wait for the phone lines to open up here. In the meanwhile, I'm still getting questions to ask Gender. So are you going to be homeless from all this? That's one person is asking that.
Well, they're trying to do it. I'm in foreclosure now, right? I have a bankruptcy. They pushed me to the bankruptcy.
On a homestead property. His family, where his whole family, generations, live. All 26,000 of them, it looks like, when I go there. But it's everybody, babies, all of them are going to be evicted in a minute. And he's had to declare bankruptcy to try to save his house. They've leaned on his businesses. They put him out of business, basically.
All the properties, they put their lien with David Garden
and other lawyers, a whole group of them.
Deborah Rock.
That's just a remarkable concert. Disgusting, you know. That's just so horrible, you know, that this could happen. And that's because these attorneys have these huge fees, and then they keep billing and billing and billing and billing. Before you know it, they'd eat up your estate, that estate, this estate, taking away the home.
Oh, and they're selling their house for pennies on the dollars, and then they're buying them up knowing that they're in auction and the foreclosure. Wait, you think they're foreclosing on them for no reason? They're going to auction off his properties like they have already at way below market value, snap them up, and then they all gobble it up. The judge gets his piece. The sheriff gets his piece. This guy gets that piece, and your property's gone.
I just hired some attorneys down in Fort Lauderdale. They call it the Horn and Chad and 401 Andrews Avenue, North Andrews Avenue. As soon as I hired them, and we have a meeting on a Zoom, and we asked to be on a Zoom on a court order. And we did show up and been mute, silent. And the creditors, they didn't show up. And it was postponed to 24th of May. And the other side, the U.S. Bank, which one we have a loan with the Bank of America, and they sold our note to U.S. Bank, which one, they don't have a note to produce it. They said they lost it. And they lifted our case, you know, no stay in bankruptcy, and they bought it for themselves, the value of $120,000. They bought it for $40,000. And I told law firm Melissa by name, listen, we can pay $40,000. Or we can put it for sale if it's a value $120,000. Why Bank USA the buying for themselves? It's not in the auction, nothing. Here it is what Elliot stated. They're buying for themselves. They pay Bank $40,000, and they keep the rest, which one is $120,000. Right there is $80,000 free and clear. And same thing happened. 4 years ago, they took one of my property, which one was worth $350,000. They sold it to themselves, Bank of America, with no note or nothing, for $170,000. And the value is $320,000, whatever it's more today, $400,000. And they removed my name, which one I hired, Tom Dorothy, to represent me. And he turned around against me. Each attorney I hired, they would go against
the one he just hired for bankruptcy. He had to fire the next minute.
Yeah,
because the first hearing, they go in and they're selling him out right there, and he's like, "Stop! You're fired! Get the fuck, get out of here!"
I'm not going to represent you. Take the money, and after that, He said, you've been too many times. You know, I cannot do it. You know, you want it this way. I said, by the law, by the writing. I said, I'm not talking. Everything I'm giving you on the paper, on the writing, show me the proof where judge is saying things. I said, you're making up. You're protecting the other side. What is the matter with you? Why are you not going by the rules and regulation on the email or text message? I can respond to you. But they wouldn't do that. As soon as you question an attorney to do the work, they wouldn't do it. They go against the view.
And he just said the word. Everybody in the courtroom, forget Bank of America for a second or U.S. Bank or any of the banks involved, look at who's involved, the lawyers for the bank.
Yeah.
They're all there
right.
working to steal his property with a judge. Before he walks into court, it's like they all say, hey, how was dinner last? Oh, it was great. Thanks, Bob, for buying dinner. And they're having this party while Skinder's, you know, scared to death he's going to lose his house. And they're all, oh, yeah, I slept with your daughter last week. And it's scary what we've heard.
Yeah.
And they do it to intimidate
Yeah, it's scary
them.
That you have nowhere to turn, and it's just not getting any better out there at all since you've been advocating. And so
well,
do you think
it's
the same, or do you think it's gotten worse?
Is
it better now,
better.
Or do you think it's gotten worse?
Well, it's getting a lot better. The first thing to note is what I said earlier, since they've met me, three of the main conspirators in West Palm, judges, took early retirement. Several of the lawyers have been lost big cases. Brian O'Connell, who's an estate attorney here, lost $16 million federal lawsuit to Julian Bibbins, whose father was grabbed and put in a guardianship and murdered. And, you know, we're making inroads. The exposure on them killing them, so they're trying to cover up, and now they've got the cleanup crew coming in for the other judges, a bunch of really fresh judges who literally look like when they're coming into court, a gun is at their head. They're afraid to continue the fraud, but it's like their master is telling them and they are bowing, and it's mind-boggling.
Right.
But they're
so basically
under a lot of pressure.
So, Elliot, you're basically saying that you are making a difference out there by speaking up.
Yeah, speaking up, joining
yep.
forces, having multiple people, and filing criminal complaints that get docketed. Start
that's
doing
good.
Those
that's
things
excellent.
In every state. Those criminal mm-hmm. complaints are the key. That well, I'm telling you, the day the judges are let out in handcuffs is the day this ends. Every judge in town will stop this scam the minute one of them goes to prison. And there's a lot of them that should. I mean, there's this guardian who is keeping urns in her garage of her victim.
Yeah.
A judge allowed her to be guardian of all those. Nobody's looking into the judge. There's not an FBI investigation. No, because they're above the law. They can walk down Fifth Avenue, shoot people, and get away with it. They can grab your mother, kill her, isolate you from her, retaliate on you and your family, bankrupt you into nothing, trying to help
mm-hmm.
your mother.
They'll clean your
account. They'll clean everything, your accounts. These
right.
calls between attorneys are, you know, I'm going to finish up my part on this note. I filed a federal RICO in New York. My case was related by federal judge Shira Shinlin to a New York whistleblower from the first department, which is the bar disciplinary case, where this woman who was a bar lawyer, basically, Christine Anderson, it's up at my website, iviewit.tv, and you can see her testimony, comes out in a federal court and says, I'd get bar complaints like the one I filed, and I'd write hundreds of pages on it, refer it to police. And then the file was gutted by the chief counsel. And the people
right.
were sent a note saying, we reviewed your file. Have a nice day. Nothing there. You owe your lawyer a lot of money. She said, but here's your problem. When he would get a complaint against an attorney or judge, he'd immediately put you on a blackball list. So calls were made to the U.S. attorney that you were trouble, the AG of the state, the governor's office attorney. All of these guys were called instantly. The minute somebody complained about a bar member or judge, and you were blackballed. So if you went next to the police, that's why I say go first to the police, not the courts. It's very important. You know, before you run into that courtroom to get killed more and flogged, go to the police first. Get your complaints in. Because once you go to that court, you're going to be blackballed. You won't be able to find an attorney in your state. Notice, there's no attorneys that now practice the law of suing lawyers for liability.
Absolutely. I just was reached out today asking that they have a lot of information against this one case. Do I know of an attorney? It's like, I don't know of any attorneys that are suing for other attorneys against attorneys.
Oh,
I know one.
Try to find a lawyer who will sue a judge.
Very few.
It's a death sentence to them. So, you know, when we say, where are these attorneys? You know, I don't know how many people have enough to lose their...
It's a brotherhood.
With some it's a brotherhood, but some who want to do the right thing, the minute they try, you're being disbarred. You've got bar complaints all over you. I would expect for Leslie's efforts, she should have 40 to 50 bar complaints within the next few weeks if this guy, lawyer, who she freed Doug Keegan from, has his way. They tried to recruit me to file a bar complaint against her in a phishing thing on my phone, which I didn't even know how they called me. But the bottom line, and now I'm actually wrote affidavits to expose what's going on. But this is how they operate. This is what she's up against. So, you know, the support and the notoriety and the light is what she needs, and everybody should get around her and support her.
Okay,
who's
if you could find out, please, Elliot, every time she goes and has a Zoom, please contact us so we can get the Nation of Advocates to be on that call, Zoom call, okay?
Well, I will start to post it. I post a lot of stuff every day, but I will see if she's, you know, good with that. And I agree, every hearing she has, everybody who's concerned around the nation should get on that call and join in to support her and write affidavits if you know her.
Yeah, hold on.
She's going to need a lot of help.
If I could
interrupt very respectfully, I will say, as far as I know, the next hearing with Leslie Federico's will be May 17th, which is a Monday at 10 a.m., and it's the injunction that she has against her former helper, I won't call her a paralegal, Chartine Vieira. And I, of course, will send the information to Ulan and Venus in California to get the message out. I have
really good reach. So send me a copy, please, and I'll post it everywhere, and everybody knows me.
Yeah.
Okay. I will, because honestly, very quickly, Leslie Federico's is one in a billion. Not any attorney will be in grave danger, and whatever our radio show can do, and all the other
advocates organizations out there, I'm sure they will all want to be on this Zoom call, and I will get a hold of everybody to do that.
Just give us enough
information on that. We're going to take a phone call. It's 561 area.
Send donations to her, whatever you can do to help her.
Okay.
Hello.
We have
legal defenses.
Okay, we have a call that came in from a 1 area code. You have a question or a comment? Yes.
Hello. I'm Suzanne McCormick and a friend of Elliot Bernstein, and I've been hearing all these horror stories, and of course they're terrible, and I've been through 30 years of fighting with judges. I have no use for them whatsoever, and I only can suggest that I really think I've even filed police complaints, whatnot, nothing comes from them, but I really think publicity is the only way to go. And I have to say, I've had about, in the 30 years, I've had maybe 9 attorneys minus $1 million. And I, in Florida, one of my attorneys said, if you piss it for 21 days, they'll settle with you. I'm actually fighting Deutsche Bank and a large firm of White and Case law firm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I picketed for 21 days in front of Deutsche Bank on Royal Palm Way. And the Palm Beach Post came and the Daily News. And the Palm Beach Post wrote a big article about me.
Good.
And the police came when I was picketing. They said, you know, you can't do this. And you have to stop. I said, why? I have a right. I'm on a public sidewalk. And they said, well, they don't like it. They don't want you doing this for your business. So I said, okay, look, I'll go to the county offices and look at their records in the rule book and see if I have no right to picket in Palm Beach. So I did. And they said, well, we don't know. I said, look, I'll give you a day. Look in your rule book. See if you can find anything, and I'll come back in a day's time. So I did. I came back, and they said they couldn't find anything. So I said, okay, so I'll go back out there. So I was out there for 21 days. The Palm Beach Post wrote a huge article with pictures because I'm a concert pianist, and they had me at the piano the whole bit, ruined my career, the whole thing. It's a long story. I even had protective services at my door trying to get me. Anyway.
Suzanne, can you touch on one
the
thing?
Bank,
before, wait.
The bank
Suzanne.
Called.
Hold on,
what?
Suzanne. Go ahead, Elliot.
Suzanne, before you finish, I want you to touch on what happened the night they came and foreclosed and threw you out of your home.
Well, yeah, protective services came to my door and said they could help me. And I said, help me with what? Well, if you'll let us come in, we'll talk with you. And, you know, we can help you with whatever, you know, trouble you're having. I said, I'm not having trouble. I said, I probably do more work than you do. I do more work than a 35-year-old. I'm 85 now. So anyway, eventually, White and Case and Deutsche Bank were behind this. So finally, it's a long story, but three moving trucks came up to my house and was undercover policemen, I believe. It was in the morning, and they walked in. They came through the door, and someone who was there with me said, show me your papers, because in the court, the judge said, you know, I have no jurisdiction over this. So the fella asked them, what papers do you have? They said, we don't need papers. We're here and get out. Get out of the house. So they pulled the fella out who was there with me. And
how old
his
is
hand,
he, Suzanne?
Pardon me?
How old's that fella so that they get a picture of what kind of, you're 85, the fella's what, 90?
Yeah. No, he's elderly also. Yeah, he was elderly, you know, in his 70s.
Two elderly people, they're walking into their home because she has been protesting and bringing light on them. They now are with no notice, no, you know, eviction notice posted on the door, sir. Sure. And they throw them out.
And you're 85 years old?
Yes, yes. I've been at this for 30 years. I've been fighting for 30 years with these people.
Yeah,
I've been picketing. I've been
you.
In.
You're an elderly person. It just makes me so mad when they do that to people. I don't care what's going on. They need to have a little bit more respect. You know what I mean?
Well,
that's why
well,
I raised the hell on my radio show because
threw
I
out of the home without any possession. Here, what did
okay.
they let you guys
well,
take out
the
of your
point
home?
I have
second,
to make is when they pulled the fella out, his hand was bleeding. Part of his head was partly bleeding because they were very rough with him. And then they said to him, did you take any documents out of this house? So that's what they were after, my documents, because every room in my house is filled with boxes of documents. So they came upstairs where I was, and they said, get out of here. I was in my robe. It was in the morning. I had my breakfast. And I took my time. I went into my bathroom, and I got dressed. He said, hurry up, hurry up. I came out, and I said, you know, you're going to be punished for what you're doing. This is not right. So anyway, they actually threw me out. It was snowing and raining. I was in my 80s. It was snowing and raining, and they...
Nowhere to go.
I'm a concert pianist. I have a concert grand my husband gave me. And I was very concerned because I'm a Steinway artist. I said, how are you going to move that piano out? I want to watch you. They said, no, we know how to move pianos. Well, I know about pianos. And, of course, in the long run, it was ruined because I couldn't find the pedals or the legs to the piano. It's a $200,000 piano. So, I mean, and there are things that were stolen. I was a representative of the United States to Russia. I had posters of where I had performed. I don't know where any of these things are. And I was they said to me, you know, we can take you to a shelter. Well, thank goodness, two friends rode by and saw what was going on. They happened to come by. They were going to stop by. They saw what was going on. So one of the friends said, no, come to our home and we'll take you in. So they did. But they were going to send me off to a shelter. So all of this was very upsetting. I've been through all this kind of thing. But I can still say I think publicity with the guardianship and everything, really, this is the only thing with these dirty judges. Every one of them, they're definitely tied into the group. It's corrupt, the whole business. It's a whole family. And
right.
I think, you know, even though I've been in a lot of magazines, as Elliot knows, I've been in the Forbes. I know the Forbes. I've been in their magazine.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in Fortune. I've been in Bloomberg. And Palm Beach Post,
state,
of course.
This is state 30 years ago was worth like 50 million when it should have been hers. And now it's worth, they say, nothing, although they've stolen off with most of the assets. But it would today's dollars be a $250 million estate. Artwork.
And how old are you now?
Stolen.
I'm 85 now. And
you're
right now, by the way, Right now, as Elliot knows, I'm on YouTube because Glendora wanted me to give a story of my life. A chat with Glendora.
Absolutely, send it to us and put it up on our website. Put it up on Facebook when you get a chance. You can put it under Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards. Face Us. On Facebook, you can always reach us on there. You can send anybody can send me at any time any articles, stories, ways that we can get around all these corrupt attorneys or whatever to face us radio.
Oh, yeah. Well, Elliot,
yes.
Elliot's been a
radio.
Lot of help too. He knows about
right.
me, and he, you know, he's been a lot
right.
of help with all this. But it's very difficult. Yeah. All right.
Right. Well. Gosh, thank you for calling in, and I hope to be in touch with you. Keep it up. I mean, stand up for them.
Well, I was fortunate. I was fortunate with Protective Services because someone was there, and we got rid of them, and we wrote letters to them and said, don't come around here. So I knew about this guardianship business, so I knew not to let them in the house, you know.
Good.
But
good.
It's rough, yeah.
Yeah, that's very good. And Elliot's out with you, too, so you're in good hands out there. Gosh, this has been we've done a lot of radio shows on this kind of topic, you know, and that's what we want to keep doing constantly is putting stories out there. We want people to go on to Zoom meetings. Robin, You have
right. The more, the better.
Robin,
right.
What do you think folks could be? Robin, you still there?
Yeah.
I think Robin's there somewhere. Robin's on there somewhere. But So you've been listening to all this. How do you sum all this up as?
It is just part of a crime wave that is sweeping our nation and our world, that has turned our court system upside down so that the people who are supposed to be enforcing the law are the perpetrators of the crimes. And it is horrifying to hear these stories. And I did want to let people know, if you want to do something about it, there is one thing that you can do. You can help us keep this radio show on the air. The cost has become something that's difficult for me to bear. And I set up a little account at Ko-fi, which is ko-fi.com/faceus, Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards. And if this is something that you value in your life, you can help us keep it on the air. Anything that you wish to contribute would be helpful, because we're just struggling. So I hope that we'll continue to bring these programs to you. We certainly want to. And that is one thing that anyone can do that would help.
Yeah. Say that out. Say that one
Robin,
more time.
Robin, that was a great summary. And I will be posting your tin cup around as far and wide as I can.
Yeah, Robin, say that again.
We applaud your efforts.
It's ko-fi, isn't it?
Right, as in buy me a cup of coffee, ko-fi.com, face us, F-A-C-E-U-S.
Oh.
And you'll see it when you go to coffee.com and look for face us. You can find how you can contribute. And that would be helpful for us. So if you can help us keep these shows on the air, please do. And I want people to know what's going on. This is why we have held these programs for these many years, and would like to continue with them, and are doing our best to do so.
Well, God bless.
Right, and like I say, we started
God
out
bless
this, and guess what? Exactly. Next week, I think it's been 5 years that we've been on the air. May 13th was our first radio show we did 5 years ago. And it used to be called Robin and Lulu Show. And the reason I said Lulu was because my mom was under guardianship, and I was afraid that the public administrator or the attorneys would come after me and isolate my mother even more. So I named myself Lulu. So that's why everyone still calls me Lulu. So I just wanted to put that out there. So anyway, I was
Thank
a fortunate
you,
one that got my mom back out of guardianship.
Lulu.
So I just want everybody to know that. But
well, we love
and,
you
and Hillary, what do you have to
voice.
And Marcy?
And Hillary? God bless you too for your fight.
Thank you, Luna. Thank you. This is Kendra. God bless you.
Hillary's been amazing out there. And Marcy, go ahead.
I'm here.
It makes me believe angels still exist.
Right,
I
right.
Vice versa. And we're in it together. And it's not for my father. It's not for, Mr. Hody's mother. It's for everyone that has died in guardianship, that is in guardianship, and to prevent anyone else from living the nightmares that we have in the future.
And remember, stop this legal conspiracy by killing all the lawyers.
Yeah.
Well,
let's bring in another caller from a 720 number. 720, you have a question or a comment?
Is that me?
Okay, and everybody mute your phones if you're not speaking, okay? Because we got a lot
Can
of stuff
me?
Going on in the background.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, so 720, you
thank
have a
you,
question
Robin.
Coming?
Thank you, Robin. Thank you. Well, I really appreciated that lady's story. We'd really like to have her on as a show. I just recently received information that they're going to sell my California house. And the thing is in my California house is they didn't give us any notice at all. I always looked at the insurance and taxes are always paid. And then suddenly I noticed, hey, the property's up for sale. As of, I think it was last Friday when I noticed it, and they sent me an email on Saturday. And I'm like, well, wait a second. Well, we have to object to the sale of the property. Now, the property is worth $3 million. They have it listed at $2.4 million. The address is 277, this address that's going for sale is 1720 Manhattan Avenue. Now, this is the house that my grandma grew up in. And this is the house my grandma bought for and willed it to my mother, Sharon Wells. My mother grew up in this house as well. Well, they didn't send us any paperwork. They didn't send us any filing that they're going to court. They didn't give us a chance to object. We had 2 days to object, and that was Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday was the court date, and we're waiting for the proceedings on the court date of the objection. Now, Lisa McCarley is handling the objection to formalize something to go against them. This should be an illegal action. And I was also liking what your other guest was saying. I didn't get his name. I might have joined late. Is we all need to get a criminal complaint together. This has to be an illegal action. Now, with Biden's new tax laws, $2.5 million, 40% goes straight to the government, and then another 9% goes to California. So that means to the estate, that only nets them $1 million. They'll get $955,000, and $1.5 million would go for the care of the ward. I agree with every, you know, and the last lady was on, the 85-year-old lady. She needs a show by herself. God bless her. I'm on your side 100%.
Oh, my.
I didn't know that you guys needed some, you know, a little help, but I'm glad to come on by, and, you know, once a month, drop off some money for you guys, keep this radio show going. But that lady needs it and stuff. And the other guy, God bless him, he's straight. He's just like Robin. He's straight on this. Let's all get criminal complaints. Let's all go down one time. You know, go ahead.
If you need help with that, my name is Elliot, E-L-I-O-T, Bernstein, B-E-R-N-S-T-E-I-N, 561-886-7628. And what was your name?
I did like some of your... My name is David Wells. I have no shame.
Hi,
David Wells, you know, my brother Greg Wells, we're part of the Wells family estate. They have spent $1.2 million in the last 3 years of the estate. And so my consensus, and I've been reading up a little bit, is the reason why they're selling the estate is because the conservator has made the conservatee insolvent. They can't pay for their own estate because the conservatorship is taking all the money for themselves and can't pay their own bills. So most of these bills are now...
That's
it's in their playbook. Exactly.
Yo, that's,
and this
that's
one, you know,
all these guys.
My mother's in conservatorship out here in Colorado. Now, they're trying to go out to the property in California. Now, I don't see any more investment property. And my mom told me, I go, Mom, did you ever want to sell this property? She said to me, you know, when will we ever own beachfront property in our lifetime? I said, fair enough.
Yeah.
We'll do whatever we can to make it better, make it look good.
Especially in L.A.
Especially in Los Angeles. This is Hermosa Beach, California. I'll say it again, 1720 Manhattan Avenue in Hermosa Beach, California. I'm with you guys all. Let's form that group. Let's bring criminal charges against them. Let's go federal RICO. Let's keep this going. I hear it's a COCO Act. I know there's a Gene Powers and Elise McCarley. I know Channel 7 News, hopefully, by the grace of God, she's listening. Go ahead.
We are working hard out here in Colorado to bring this whole story to light out here. We should be knowing very soon. But it is a big, huge criminal enterprise out here as well of what's going on with the families. So, you know, the only thing, like we said, like everybody has said on this radio show tonight, is that we have to be vocal and we have to all speak up because these people are taking advantage of us and they shouldn't be coming to our homes and stealing from us. Because if you or I did that, we would be in prison, period.
We'd be in jail. Absolutely, you know. I was doing the remodel at one of my mother's properties and they gave me 5 felony charges. I had no opportunity to save my mother. They came in to my house, threw me in jail, and grabbed my mother and took her away.
Threw me down, beat me up, handcuffed me.
Handcuffed us, throw us in jail. You guys,
a restraining order for a year and a half against my mother until I proved my innocence.
And then we have to go fight the civil case. Well, once we started winning in the criminal case, their tentacles lightened up. And so they jumped ahead of the criminal case.
No
due process of law. So that was where I wanted to get to the gentleman before that settled. Is anybody heard of this David Lane out here in Colorado?
Yes, we know David Lane very well.
And is
he's
he
brilliant.
Any good? Will he work with us?
No, he will not. He only does civil rights.
Civil rights. Now, these people are being held in guardianships. Isn't that their civil rights being abused?
Yeah, but he doesn't know that much about
life
the guardianship laws and all that. That's not his forte at all. I've already asked him about, you know. But he's an excellent attorney.
Is there
anybody needs something done with civil rights here in Colorado?
Well, this is civil
rights. But anyway,
rights.
You guys have only
got
like
all
about...
All these are civil rights. This is a civil
right
case, kidnapping people, stealing their property. I can't imagine anything less civil rights. I mean, that
right.
is
no
one
thing.
You don't have the right to vote when they take your life. You don't have the right,
right
to sign
yep,
a contract, to call your daughter, to do anything.
Right.
I mean, that's
a prisoner on death row has more rights.
Right.
And that's why if we formulate it the right way,
mm-hmm. yeah,
if we
exactly.
formulate it the right way and we talk to David Lane in the right aspect, maybe we can,
mm-hmm.
you know, bring this to light to him. I mean, Elliot,
yeah.
it sounds like
yeah.
one of the forefront guys I want to go to. Maybe we can call the guys in New York. If David Lane doesn't want to take it, hey, let's take it to the guy in New York. Maybe he'll take it, and maybe he does civil rights.
Right.
Those are my
well,
I always
warn people when coming to me that when I first started going against these judges, they put
mm-hmm.
a bomb in my car. It blew up three cars next to it. These guys, if you're doing what you're doing and going up against them, get ready. They're going to tear your family apart. They're going to throw every dirty trick, put people in jail on trumped-up charges, go after your kids. And wait till you hear next week the story of how they put my 18-year-old adult son in a minor guardianship so he didn't have to have any competency hearings or anything, and then proceeded to violate every trust, his house, everything, trying to destroy us. This is how sick they are. They would go after your children, put them in a guardianship
yeah.
illegally, and then execute contracts, show up at court hearings for them, where he had no rights as an adult. He never had
right.
a formal adult guardianship.
Right.
Again,
and that Elliot,
guys,
we're going to try to bring you on next week so you can talk about that, but right now we only have 1 minute left to the radio show tonight, and we don't like to go too much over time because 2 hours is a long time. But like I said, everybody can come back and join us again next week. We're going to try to get Elliot Bernstein back on, and I definitely
Absolutely.
Love the lady that called in, the elderly lady.
Yeah,
keep going on there.
Her
I mean,
name and I'll hook you up with her.
Yes.
It'll
yes, and we
tonight.
Definitely want to do
okay.
a radio show with her as well. I mean, she's a good voice
yeah.
for the elderly people to speak out
wonderful.
What's happening to the elderly people. I mean, that's what we really want to focus on is what they're doing to our families, what they're doing to our elderly, what they're doing to our disabled people, you know, that are very vulnerable. And how they're taking advantage of our families and putting liens on our homes and taking away our homes and making us pay huge exorbitant attorney fees for them not even helping us. I mean, this is
Elliot, I'm with you.
This is not supposed
Good.
To be how America
we'll
is today,
to.
But this is what's happening to everybody. This is real, okay? So next week, we're going to have Elliot Bernstein come back on. In the meanwhile, you're listening to Faceless Radio. And it's on the Hidden Truth Revealed channel. And we have Marcy Freeman that joins us every week. We have Hillary Hogue that joins us every week. And Robin Austin. And, of course, my name is Luann Fleming. You can find me at Face Us Radio at hotmail.com, F-A-C-E-U-S radio at hotmail.com. Until then, seeing accountability and giving up is not an option, right, Robin? We always say that at the end of every show, Hillary. Right.
Yes, you're right.
So,
yeah, thanks, Bernie.
And we got to keep on with it, Hillary, all of us. You know, we'll just keep on going on. Any more news? I just got a notice that there was another attorney that stepped down out in California. I'll talk about that next week on our radio show. But until
great
then.
Show. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah. We are going
tune
to
in
go
Robin.
Ahead and.
Love you too,
with
man.
The NASA commercial,
appreciate
everybody.
All of you. Thank you so much. God bless us, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you, Skinder. And we
good
keep
night.
In touch with us too, Elliot. Okay? Good
and
night,
thank
everybody.
You, and God bless
you. Did you know that elders and others are
thank
losing
you.
Their rights
thank
to liberty
you.
And property?
Good night,
the
Skinder.
Constitution, according to the rules, is incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian,
there.
Sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home
well,
and sell your home to pay for services. Treasure belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit StopGuardianAbuse.org.